house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The last words of anyone are important. And how much more so the last words of our Lord Jesus Christ before he went to the cross. In less than 24 hours, the Lord was going to meet with his disciples in the upper room. He said, with great desire, I have a desire to eat this supper with thee before I suffer. The cross immediately looming before him, he met in that upper room. He instituted the Lord's Supper. He took a loaf of bread into his hands and said, this is my body which is given for you. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do, in remembrance of me. And John tells us of the teachings the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples in that upper room. And perhaps there's nothing written in Scripture has been more of a comfort and a challenge to God's people than these words, let not your heart be troubled. It is one of the most amazing statements in the Word of God. Amazing because of when it was said, and amazing because of who said it. If there any one in that company had a right, humanly speaking, to have had heart trouble, it was the Lord himself. And yet he said to them, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let not your heart be troubled. The words immediately preceding those words, the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow, for thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. If there were any people that had a reason to have heart trouble, it were these men with whom the Lord Jesus met. Luke tells us that immediately following the Lord Jesus' institution of the Lord's Supper, the disciples were quarreling among themselves. Who should be the greatest? Who's going to be the big shot? Have you ever thought how that must have fallen upon the ears of the Lord Jesus? The one who was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And here they were thinking of a place of favor for themselves, quarreling among themselves, who's going to be the greatest? There was a strife among them, the scripture says. Who should be accounted the greatest? And then the Lord Jesus made the announcement that one of you, in that same upper room, he made the announcement, one of you shall betray me. Is it I? They rather believed it about themselves because they knew their own heart than about one of the others. They didn't even know that Judas was the betrayer. Well, after all, he was the treasurer of the company, a trusted individual. Who would have suspected of him? But we know even after the Lord pointed out who the betrayer was, they thought that he had told him to buy something for the feast, and they didn't suspect him. It just indicates to us how close the person can be to the Lord Jesus and yet not know him at all. The Lord Jesus concludes, you remember, his Sermon on the Mount by saying something to this effect. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name. We have cast out demons in thy name. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Not, I knew you at one time, and now no longer know you. But I never knew you. For the glorious fact is that those whom Christ knows are his forever. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. And it's a wonderful thing to know that not only do I know the Lord, but that he knows me. The scripture says the foundation of God stands sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I know my sheep because I am known of mine. Isn't it interesting that the three great enemies the Bible tells us that we face are all pictured among these apostles in that upper room? The way of the world. What's the way of the world? What's in it for me? Seeking a place for self. Which of us is the greatest? Self-seeking. That's the way of the world. What's the way of the flesh? Self-confidence. Though all men deny thee. Maybe the rest of these apostles, but after all, I'm number one on the hit parade. I'm the top man on the totem pole. Though all men deny thee. Say, well, not I. Do you think Peter believed that within the space of less than 24 hours, he would actually deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and even with an oath and a curse? Let not your heart be troubled, and that one of them, it says that Satan entered into Judas. But the thing that got him was he became interested in things. Covetousness. Beware of covetousness, the Lord Jesus said. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The Lord is telling them here, and he's telling us here, us as well, today. The answer to the solving of the heart problem is, believe in me. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He is telling them that just as they were believing in God that they could not see then, pretty soon they would have to believe in him in the same way. I'm going away. And Peter says, though now we see him not. We don't see him. We never have seen him with the eye, except with the eye of faith. Yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter made a mistake in what he said. But in John chapter 6, this is what he said. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, will ye also go away? And Peter responds, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And the minute he said it, the Lord Jesus corrected him. One time I made a study in the New Testament trying to find out all the mistakes that are recorded that Peter made, and I came up, I think, with 19 different mistakes that are recorded. But I never noticed this one until one day. It just hit me between the eyes. Peter made one mistake. He said, we believe and are sure. If he'd have said, I believe and I'm sure. If he'd have said like Paul, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's fine. But he said, we believe and are sure. And in the very next verse, the Lord says, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a demon, a devil. He says, Peter, you can speak for yourself. But you cannot speak for all these others. Because one of you is not a believer. I can't speak for your faith. You can't speak for my faith. But I can say like Paul says, I believe God. It shall be. Even as it was told me. I can rest in his word for myself. And as the hymn says, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know thus saith the Lord. Yes, the Lord himself is a cure for heart trouble. Let not your heart be troubled. And it says those moments of doubt that our heart is troubled. But when we take God at his word, no matter what our circumstances may be, we're not looking at our circumstances. We're looking at the Lord of our circumstances. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'd like to suggest that in this passage, the Lord Jesus gives us his prescription, the great physician's prescription for the heart problem. Let not your heart be troubled. Past, present, and future. He takes care of the past. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I'm not going up to heaven on a building program. In my Father's house are many mansions. He spoke to the Israelites and said, your house is left unto you desolate. At one time, he spoke of it as my Father's house. Ye have made my Father's house a den of thieves. But later on, he said, your house is left unto you desolate. God had vacated the premises. So he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. We read in Genesis 22 that Abraham saw the place afar off. And God told him to take his son, his only son Isaac, one that you love, offer him up for an offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He started out on the journey. He saw the place afar off. And the place that he saw was the actual place on which some 2,000 years later God's lamb was sacrificed. Abraham said prophetically, God will provide himself a lamb. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. On our front porch, we have two signs. One that was given to me from a brother that used to live in Minneapolis, but he moved out to Denver. He was owned a big drugstore out there. And it's a little metal plaque, and it says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And my boys took it upon themselves to get another sign that they found at the Dade County Youth Fair, because they'd heard me tell a story. And the story I told was this, that in the Bahamas, I first saw this sign, and it was in front of a business establishment owned by Christians, and it said this: "There's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place." But we've got that sign on our front porch. But the first time I saw it, and this is what I said the first time I saw it, when I saw that sign, I thought of a hymn that we sing. O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared to thee? For God's own Son was crucified, and for our sins the ransom died. You sang this morning beneath the cross of Jesus. And one of the verses says, "Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times did see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love and my unworthiness. I go to prepare a place for you." And so as a little chorus, we used to sing, "Send all the way to Calvary went for me." That was the place. There's no place anywhere near that place like that place. Wonderful. "I go to prepare a place for you. There the Lamb of God shed his precious blood in order to make us right with God. All the past taken care of. All my sins, so great, so many, in his blood are washed away. Conscience now no more condemns me, for his own most precious blood once for all has washed and cleansed me. Cleansed me in the eyes of God." What a contrast. The disciples were seeking a great place for themselves. Who's going to be the greatest? And the greatest was thinking about taking the lowest place. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a slave, being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Who's going to be number one? And number one was going to take the lowest place of all. Oh, the marvelous, matchless grace of God. And the Lord Jesus is teaching us by his example that the way to greatness is not like among the Gentiles. They exercise dominion. They want to be the big shot. They want to be the boss. Exercise lordship. He says, "It shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief, let him be your slave." The Lord has set as an example that we should follow his steps. O patient, spotless one, our hearts in meekness strain, to bear the yoke, to learn of thee, that we may rest obtain. The way to greatness with God is not up, but it's down. And the Lord Jesus says it three times over in the New Testament scriptures, in case we missed it the first couple times. He said, "Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted." And he's telling us over and over again, with God, the way up is down. And many of us have never learned that lesson. I suppose we never really learned it. We're just in the process of learning it. I like the story about the fellow took a job in an elevator operator. And he quit after the first day. He couldn't learn the route. And sometimes I think about that. You know, you can be in your Christian life for many, many years, And you never learn to rise. The way up with God is down. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. But not only does he take care of the present, the past, he takes care of the present. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Peter was trusting in his own strength, in his own wisdom, self-confidence. And the Bible says the man that puts his trust in the flesh is a fool. It's impossible to please God in the flesh. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It's not confidence in self, it's confidence in Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. We were hearing last evening about pleasing God. The only way we can please God is by believing what He has to say. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. It is the reward of them that diligently seek Him. You remember in the great faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, we have that refrain over and over again, by faith, by faith, by faith. We read, for instance, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. But before his translation, before God took him to heaven without dying, he had this testimony. He pleased God. How would you like to have that written over your life? That's what God wrote over the life of Enoch. He pleased God. It doesn't tell us that in the Old Testament, but it does say this twice over in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God. And that tells me that he didn't choose the path. He didn't choose the destiny. He just walked with God. Where He may lead, if He leads me, I will go. That was the attitude of his life. He walked with God. And the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, they have in their commentary a comment on Deuteronomy 22 and verse 10, where it says, thou shalt not plow the ox and the ass together. And they say something like this, and of course, it's an argument about what Paul elaborates. He says, you can't walk in fellowship with an unbeliever. How can you? How can two walk together except to be agreed? So, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the illustration that they use is something like this. It said, in those eastern countries, an ox is a very slow, plodding animal. And the world looks at the Christian, they say, they're so slow, they're behind the times. Get with it! And they pass by hurriedly on the other side. And the ox is a slow, plodding animal. The ass is a very spirited animal in the East, I understand. And they get a bad case of halitosis. And it has a terrible breath that sometimes it causes the ox to sicken and to die. In other words, the two reasons that you cannot walk with a believer, there's something wrong with their walk, and there's something wrong with their talk. They suffer from hoof and mouth disease. And so, you cannot walk in fellowship. But Enoch walked with God. And when you walk with God, you walk in fellowship with those that walk with God. Not only with Him, but with others of like precious faith. Well, Peter had something going for him. The Lord takes care of the present for Peter as well as for us. Simon, Simon, he says, Satan has desired to have thee. So he may sift these wheat. And you know, when you sift wheat, you get rid of the chaff. And there's a lot of chaff in our life, and the Lord allows us to pass through these experiences to get rid of the chaff. Satan has desired to have thee, he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He had faith. But sometimes those who believe can get off on the wrong track, as we know by experience. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when, not if. I like that. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Whenever you get to heaven, don't mention roosters to Peter. Every morning when he got up and he heard that rooster crow, you know what he thought of? He thought of how he had told the Lord, though all denied it, yet will not I. And the Lord was just reminding him that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the Lord says, I'm your answer to your present difficulty. I've prayed for thee. And it's a wonderful thing to know, fellow believer, that we have one at God's right hand who prays for us. This man, we read in Hebrews, this man, because he continueth ever as an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save to the very end all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I don't pray for you, and you don't pray for me, as you ought, perhaps. We don't pray for one another, but we have one who is praying for us. Our great high priest is sitting at God's right hand above. For us, his hands uplifted in sympathy and love, whilst here below in weakness we onward tread our way. In sorrow, oft, and sickness we hardly dare to pray. Through manifold temptation, my soul holds on its course. Christ's mighty intercession alone is my resource. My gracious high priest pleading, who on the cross did bleed, bring down God's grace and blessing, help, in each hour of need. Wonderful thing to know we have one is praying for us, but it's also, he tells us, I'm the way. You can come as the way is open. It says that we can come to him. He's sitting on a throne, and it's a throne of grace. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And one of the Bible translators has translated, in the nick of time, just when I need it most. Jesus is there to comfort and cheer just when I need it most. And I can come into his presence. He says, I'm the way. Without the way, there's no going. Without the truth, there's no knowing. Without the life, there's no growing. He says, I'm everything you need. Are you hungry? He says, I am the bread of life. Not bread of life, I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. Do you need guidance? I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the door, he says. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. You'll find pasture going in, access, and you'll find something to feed on going out. I am the good shepherd, he says. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Praise God. He's not speaking, I don't think, in that passage of what he was going to do on the cross. He says, I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And that's what he's doing. Up in heaven. He's giving his life for the sheep. Oh, he gave his life on the cross, but he's giving his life for the sheep now. I have a shepherd. One I love so well. How he's blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his What a God, that I might forever in his love confide, following Jesus ever day by day. Nothing can harm me when he leads the way. The psalmist says, my shepherd is going ahead of me. The Lord is my shepherd, he leadeth me. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me beside the still water. He's going ahead. He goes before the sheep. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's beside me every step of life's way. He never deserts me for a moment. And then he says, surely goodness and mercy shall chase me, pursue me, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's before me, beside me, and he's behind me. With such a shepherd, nothing can I lack. I am the good shepherd. We are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. The victory is not won by our self-confidence. It's won by confidence in him. Trust in the Lord. That's the big word. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not, the Bible says, unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That's a wonderful, wonderful assurance that we have from the Word of God. And not only does he take care of the path, I go to prepare a place for you, and he went to the cross. That takes care of the path, all my guilty path, wiped out. New creation in Christ Jesus, but he takes care of all the present. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Lord Jesus said, the Father himself loveth you. I can come as a child. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father. A Father who loves his children. With a love that we cannot even begin to measure. And as for the future, he says, I'll come again and receive you into myself. We read that Judas went out, and it was night. We won't see Judas in heaven. The last view those disciples had of Judas was in that upper room. He went out to sell the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Betrayest thou me with a kiss, a sign of affection. And it wasn't just a peck in the cheek. It was a kiss, the same word is used when the father welcomed the son who had gone to the far country and wasted his substance. When he's yet a great way off, his father ran to meet him and kissed him. Not a peck in the cheek, but a kind of a kiss that you give to the dearest person you know on earth. That was the kind of a kiss that Judas gave the Son of God. And he sold him for 30 pieces of silver, one-tenth of the value, by Judas' estimate, of that alabaster box of ointment which Mary had broken and poured on the feet of Christ in his head. They said it was a waste. Why was this waste of the ointment made? And the Lord Jesus considered his worship. He said, against the day of my burying, she has kept this. She had only one purpose for that, to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus before he went to the cross. Mary of Bethany did not go to the cross. She knew he was going to rise from the dead. Against the day of my burying, she kept this, and 6 days before the Passover, she anointed the body of the Lord Jesus. And he said, she has wrought a good work on me. And wheresoever this gospel is preached, this also, that this woman has done, shall be told for a memorial of her. She's remembered because she remembered what the Lord had said. She had sat at his feet and heard his word. Even John and Peter, they didn't know. because it says that when they ran to the tomb, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, although the Lord Jesus had told them at least 7 different occasions that he was going to suffer many things, and 3 days later he was going to rise. They just didn't take it in. You know how we can hear things and not hear them? That was the way with them. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard. That's what the Bible says. I have heard his word. And the Lord Jesus said, she has wrought a good work on thee. Judas went out. It was night. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, I'm going out. But it's not into the night. He says, I'll come again and receive you into myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Lord says, don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the present. Don't worry about the future. It's all in my hands. And one of these days, heaven is going to open, and the Lord Jesus is going to come. The Bible doesn't say soon he's coming. We use that, and many of our hymns say it, and many lovely hymns say it. Soon will our Savior from heaven appear, sweet as the prospect. Hope and the prospect of cheer. All will be changed to the glimpse of his face. That's the goal at the end of the race. Father, the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17, the last prayer that we have recorded. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And we think of the joy that is going to be ours when we see the Savior face to face. But what a joy it will be for him when he sees of the fruit of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. I can't understand that. We were saying it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. But how he will say, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Calvary. It was worth it all. Some glorious morning, sorrows will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended. School days all done. Heaven will open. Jesus will come. Oh, what a meeting. There in the skies, no tears, no crying. Shall dim our eyes. Loved ones united eternally. Oh, what a day, Frank. That morning will be. Oh, believers, we are the richest of the rich. The Bible says, all things are yours. If you own everything, nobody can be any wealthier than that. All things are yours. All the preachers are yours. All God's gifts to the church, they all belong to you. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, things present, things to come. All are yours. And you're Christ. You belong to him. And you can be sure of this. He knows how to take care of his property. Of all those I've given me, I've lost none. And you're God. Doubly secure. I love those verses in John 10 spoken by our Lord Jesus when he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Blessed is his love we sing. To God our praises bring. Jesus, our Lord, to thee. Honor and majesty now and forever be here and in heaven. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful for this lovely portion of thy word that brought comfort and blessing to thousands, yea, millions of thy people. We're thankful it's a blessed hope. We're thankful that we've been begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away and is kept in heaven for us who are being kept by thy power. And we're looking forward to that day, Lord, when, in accordance with thy promise, thou wilt come again and receive us unto thyself. And then, and not till then, Lord, we shall be where we would be. And then, and not till then, we shall be what we should be. The things that are not now, nor could be, then shall be our own. We're thankful for these days that we've been privileged to be with thy people here. And we pray that as a result of the ministry of thy word, we may be drawn closer to one another and closer to thee. We seek thy blessing on the remainder of this day together. And those who will be traveling, give them mercy on the road, we pray. In our Savior's precious name. Amen.